Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Chapter 1, the second Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with how a Hebrew slave acquires himself, or how he's become free, or how a female slave also gets acquired or becomes freed as well. There are two different types of Eved Ivri, two different types of Jewish slaves. One that sells himself because he's totally impoverished, and therefore he takes the initiative and becomes a slave. And the second type of slavery is one where the Beis Din sells someone into slavery because of an item that he stole. There's no question that when we talk about a slave and Eved Ivri, it has very little to do with the similar idea of what we know as slaves in the 19th century in America. Quite different in terms of the rights of a slave and how a master must treat these types of slaves. They're radically different than what we've experienced, perhaps not in our lifetime, but definitely in the past couple of hundred years in North America. The Mishnah begins, Eved Ivri Nikne Bekesef Ubeshtar. In Eved Ivri, either one of these two different types of Hebrew slaves, again, either he sold himself or the Beis Din sold him, they're acquired through money or through the use of a shtar. Again, if it is through money, it is this acquisition that is sold, that is purchased from the transfer of money to the court to pay for the slave in order, let's say, to pay off the debt or to pay off the theft. That is how a Hebrew slave is acquired with money in terms of a shtar. That is, a shtar, a document which is actually given to the Baal, given to the master and the servant. The Eved himself writes that Nimkar Lecha, that I have been sold to you, or the opposite, I have been acquired by you. And what happens is, if the other case, if it's the Beis Din that actually sells the Eved, the servant, so they write a shtar of sale for the Baal. The Kona es Atzmo Bashanim Ubeyovel, Ubegirion Kesef. There are three different ways that a slave can end, can cease this relationship where he's actually a slave to a specific master. And the three ways are, Bishanim, what does that mean? What does it mean? Years? Very simple. At the end of 6 years from the day he'd been sold by the Beis Din, then that relationship is over. It says in the Torah, Shesh Shanim Ya'avod, for 6 years he works, and not one day longer, and therefore he goes free. Person, however, who sells himself, a Mocher Es Atzmo, person can sell himself for more than 6 years, and what can happen is very simple. At the end of whatever agreement, whatever period of time has been reached, and then once those years have come to an end, then that relationship is now over. The other way is with the Yovel, the Jubilee year. If the Yovel year falls within that 6 year period, which the Eved was sold by the Beis Din, or the period of which a person sold himself into servitude, he goes free. There's a pasuk in the Torah where slaves go free on the Yovel year. The third way that a slave can go free is Gur Yom Kesef. What exactly does that mean? The slave was able to acquire some money. What he's able to do is divide the amount for which he was sold by the number of years he was sold for, and deduct from this the money for the years which he served. He can repay the rest to his master, then he'll be allowed to go free. That is what Gur Yom Kesef means. Yesera alav amayivriya shekona es atzma basim money. And Amai Vriya also is able to go free in those three ways that we just mentioned. But there's a fourth way, and that is with Simanim, a young lady whose father sold her into slavery because he was totally impoverished, he had no possessions, he had no land, he didn't have a shirt off his back, he had to sell his daughter into slavery. She would go free once she has signs of physical maturity. If she were to show those signs, she would also go free, because when she's older, she's no longer able to retain the status of a Amah Ivriya, and she must be set free or married by her master. The Mishnah continues, a nirtza nikne virtzia, an individual, a slave, who has been pierced. He did not want to go free at the end of his 6 years, and therefore his ear was pierced. Havtid es adunyat yeshivat banai. He does not want to leave his master. Perhaps his master gave him a wife, and now he has this new family. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to go free. Ni kine birtzia. He's acquired through the act of piercing his ear. Now he would, in fact, remain a servant for many years. Until when? When could this individual go free? V'kone es atzma b'yovel u'b'misas ha'adon. Such an individual who decided to stay with his master after his ear is pierced, there is two ways he can go free. If the Jubilee year hits, if it's the Yovel, or B'misas Adon, his master were to perish, he would not become the property of the master's son, let's say, but rather to the master only, and therefore if the master dies, he would also get to go free as well. Mishnah Gibbo deals with how a person acquires an Eved Kanani. Although we use the term Kanani, it means any type of non-Jewish slave. The Pasuk says, V'nchasen also v'nechem achrechem reshes achuza v'olam behem tavodu. From here we learn that there's a connection in terms of how a person acquires a field, a karka, and how a person acquires an Eved Kanani. V'olam behem tavodu, they must be your slave forever. A couple of interesting halachos that pertain to Eved Kanani, just before we begin this Mishnah, that after a period of time, once he's in your possession, actually he requires a bris milah, requires tefillah in the mikvah, and he's chayav for mitzvahs that are not time-bound. Shelo hazman grama, just like a woman. After 12 months, if he doesn't want to accept these mitzvahs, then he goes back, and he can be returned back in his soul. In Eved Kanani is Gufu Kano the Yisrael. In Eved Kanani, his body is really sold to the Jew. And therefore, he doesn't really go out. He's not freed at the Yovel. He's not freed after 6 years either. Our Mishnah will now deal with how to technically acquire this Eved. Eved Kanani Nikne V'Kesef is acquired with money, V'Shtar B'Chazaka. He's acquired with money, he's acquired with a document, or he's acquired in the third manner, which is called chazaka, which will be explained. What it is referring to, very simple, money is paid by the purchaser to the previous master, that's with kesef, or with a shtar. Again, the previous master writes to the new master saying that the servant sold to him. Chazaka means that his slave, this Eved Kanani, performs a task, a menial task for the owner, like dressing or bathing him, and this shows that he belongs to him. That is the chazaka dimension of how to acquire an Eved Kanani. Mishnah continues, V'kone es atzmo v'kesef aydecherim v'shtar al yedei atzmo divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir argues that how is it that this Eved gets to go out for free, either with money, by Acherim, that someone else gives his master money and he goes free, this is important, not by the slave himself, the reason being everything that the Eved does is kanui, is actually acquired by the owner, by the master. And therefore, should the slave have some money, he wouldn't really have this money to go free, he would immediately be given to the owner, and therefore someone else must give money to the master in order for him to go free. Or with a shtar. Same idea, the master, the owner writes a document, a shtar, which is actually received by himself, but not by others. The shtar cannot be given by somebody else because others cannot secure his release for him with a document. What is the rationale? What's the svara of Rabbi Meir? He holds that the servant, the non-Jewish servant, cannot acquire any type of property or any money without belonging to the master. And therefore, he can't purchase himself back with money, but others have to do it for him. And it is the Eved's disadvantage for him to leave here for freedom, nor for him to go free. And therefore, a person cannot be mezakeh someone shelo b'fanav. He cannot require something which is detrimental, not in front of that person. Therefore, you cannot give a shtar to somebody else, but you can give the shtar of this document to the slave himself, and not with someone else, because according to Rabbi Meir, once again, you can be mezakeh, you can be a zchus for someone else, not in front of them, shelo b'fanav. But since it is a chov, this is a terrible thing for this eved to go free, he wants to work for this Jewish owner. He would not want to have this document given to someone else, but he himself can accept it in order to go free. Chachamim omrim, and chachamim argue, bekesef ar de'atzmo v'shtar de'achirim, u'bilvad she'akesef mishel achirim. Chachamim argue, and they say, no, the servant can acquire money, because, as a whole, that not everything that the eved acquires automatically becomes his master's. And a document, a shtar, another person can also receive the shtar, the document, for the slave to go free. Because Chachamim argue with Meir, Chachamim say that having the slave go free is beneficial to him, and therefore Zakin Adam Shelo, the fun of, and others can accept the servant's document for his release. They do not need his consent. It's assumed that, of course, he'd want to go free, and there's an automatic consent. Bilvad Shehiyeh HaKesef, provided that this servant gives his master in order to go free himself, Mishel Achirim belongs to someone else. So the question is, why does there's a very strange language here in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah not just simply tell us, Chachamim say, with money, with Kesef, and with the Shtar, doesn't make a difference to him or to others, he gets to go free. Why is it that it's a strange language in our Mishnah? Therefore, the Gemara goes on to explain that it's true, according to the Chachamim, with money, whether it's for himself or for others, and with the document, he gets to go free. But the phrase, Shtar Mishel Achirim in our Mishnah, was actually not said by the Chachamim. It was said by a different Tana. It was said by Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who has a different position. He holds that a servant can acquire his own freedom with a document or with money by a chirim, but not by himself. What is the rationale? What's the svar behind it? Rabbi Shimon holds that it is the servant's advantage. It is considered a schutz for the servant to go free, and that the servant's ability to acquire articles is not granted simultaneously with his freedom, and that a servant cannot acquire property. He cannot acquire anything without it becoming its master's, and therefore it's his third opinion. You have three opinions, in terms of how a slave in every kind can go free, the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Chachamim, and this third opinion explained by the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon ben Eliezer.